Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Conservative Talk Radio, where we're always right and never left. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. Before we begin our show this evening, I want to send out special prayers to all of those who lost family members and friends to the deadly disease and virus going around COVID-19. I also want to send a special prayer out for all of the first-line workers, first responders, gas station attendants, all of those who are trying every day, jeopardizing their life to give us a normal life, be it at the grocery store or what have you, every day out there helping us. So I'm very, very thankful for all of those individuals that continue to stand up and help out not only our community, but our country. I also want to add a footnote to my prayers to the unfortunate murder of George Floyd. My prayers go out to him, his family, and his friends for the unspeakable and unfortunate and undeserved death of a man at the hands of the police. My prayers go out to him and his family. And I must urge all those in the public to resist violence, looting, and arson. That does not help our cause to revise, revisit, and reform the criminal justice system. All you're doing is creating a crime or a criminal record for yourself, and it's overshadowing in us seeking justice for those who've lost their lives at the unfortunate hands of police brutality. Today in our studio, we are blessed, and I am extremely blessed and humbled to have longtime political activist, civil rights activist, mentor, attorney, former House of Representatives legislator, Elbert Gilroy in the studio. Welcome into the studio, sir. It is an honor to have you with us today.
Chauncey, the honor truly is mine. I'm a big fan of yours. I love what you do.
Thank you so much, Albert. I really appreciate it. I'm very, very humbled by your kind words. We have a lot going on in the country right now. And as if I may call you an elder statesman, can you please try to put into perspective why it is important to be a black conservative today?
The basic values that made the black community strong and great during the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, those values, respect for life. Today, the people on the left want abortion. And do you know that we have aborted more than 63 million babies? We've killed more than 63 million babies since Roe versus Wade in 1972. Most of those have been little black babies. The values of working hard and studying hard, we're on the verge of losing. All of those values, respect, we are on the verge of losing those and becoming a very weak and fractured black community. The left does not hold any solutions for us. They have not solve any problems for us, not in education, not in employment, not in our safety, in our homes. So we've got to look somewhere else. We were all Democrats and on the left at one point, most of us were. We just had to get away from there and do something better for our communities.
Thank you very much for your insight, and I absolutely agree with you. on that note, what do you think the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party and the Democratic strategy, well, we know it's oppressing our people. How do we raise their level of consciousness? I mean, we have some young people with the Blexit movement founded by Candace Owens, God bless her. And it's important that those young people get involved as well, raising the level of consciousness of their other millennials. But as an older person like myself, almost 60 years old, what else can I do? What else can we do to try to raise the level of consciousness of these young people that are getting indoctrinated from these liberal professions about socialism, communism, Marxism, for us to change the paradigm for the African-American culture?
If they would look around our communities and see where we are and what we need, and if they will look at history for the socialist movement, the communist movement, if they look at the Soviet Union that is now defunct, if they look at communist China that is still here but it's on the ropes, they will see that socialism is what we're moving toward, giving everybody a little something. Not enough to make a difference, just a little. And you hit a ceiling right there at the bottom of the ladder. You can't ever get beyond that because there's no opportunity in communism and socialism, no opportunity to rise. You know, when Lyndon Johnson, President Lyndon Johnson, 1964, this is exactly his exact words. I'm going to give them, he's talking about us, black folks, I'm going to give them a little something, not enough to make a difference, but just enough to keep them quiet. And then he said, I'll have those, and he used the N-word, voting Democrats for the next 200 years. He knew that those little handouts, not enough to make a difference, would be just enough to keep us quiet. And unfortunately, that's where too many of us are. Today, if you go to a hospital, you see a lot of foreign doctors, but not a lot of black doctors. We've been here 400 years. You see a lot of foreign doctors. You see a lot of foreign nurses, not a lot of black nurses. We've been here 400 years standing in line. Foreigners come in and jump ahead of us in the line. That's a part of what Lyndon Johnson had in mind. Give us a little bit, keep us quiet and over in the corner, and we would remain true to the Democrat Party for 200 years. And so far, it's worked since 1960.
Yeah, it's very, very sad, the lack of education, or I should say the lack of curriculum in education, in our public educational systems today, that are not teaching American history, that are not teaching statesmanship. They're not teaching about the three forms of government. They're not talking about the role and responsibilities of our legislators. And our children are going up with this misnomer. And, you know, and most of these politicians are career politicians. They become elitists. But our educational system, as you mentioned earlier, is failing our kids, and the only people that are benefiting from the massive amount of money put in public education are administrators being paid exorbitant salaries, political patronage jobs, and those who acquire contracts from that money. And teachers are the first to get laid off, and teachers are still buying supplies for our children. You know, in the Bible it says the lack of knowledge will be the downfall of our people. And as we're having this conversation today, many young people today don't know about politics except what they read or listen to in the fake mainstream media. They don't teach politics in school. So, you know, older people like ourselves are working behind the eight ball to try to educate our children because the public education system is failing. What do you think about that?
The relationship between the Democrat Party and the unions is a terrible, terrible thing. Two examples. Police unions keep bad cops on the streets. Teachers unions keep a failing system in our public schools. They fight against any change. Police unions fight against any change, any oversight in the way that police officers do their jobs. And teachers unions fight against any change like charter schools or vouchers that take poor black kids out of failing schools and send them down to the private schools down the street that are working well, educating well. They fight against that because they want us stuck in that failing system. Those unions, we need to make some changes in those. And I'm a union family. My mama was a union, teachers union. My daddy was in the Boilermakers Union. So I'm two union family. But there's a time. The time has come for us to review the impact of union on what is good for black folk.
That's a very, very interesting point, duly noted, that you made. I want to move briefly to the upcoming elections. And the last election in 2016, Donald Trump won 8% of the African-American vote, 13% of the African-American male vote, 22% of the overall Hispanic vote. It appears to me, by doing radio shows and talking to people across the country, that there is a big wave of a black conservative movement. Do you see those numbers for Donald Trump changing and increasing in this next upcoming election?
Yes, I do. Down here in Louisiana, he pulled in about 16% of the black vote during the last election. And one of the things that we've been doing in Louisiana is asking folks, what have your politicians done for you? If you're satisfied, then stay where you are. But if you're not satisfied with respect to education, then let's do something different. And Trump, and certainly I do not agree with everything that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth. I don't know anybody who does. I don't know if anybody agrees with everything that comes out of his mouth. But Trump has done some important stuff for the black community. Under Trump, because he has started that trade war with China, brought back a lot of our jobs, manufacturing jobs, from places like Honduras and Mexico and China. He's increased the employment figures for black folks so that there are more of us working now than at any time in the history of America. The same thing is true for women. The same thing is true for Hispanics. So Trump's policies have been good in employment, in education. Trump has, for HBCUs, for historically black colleges and universities, overlooked, underfunded. Trump has sent his folks to fund those HBCUs. The same thing is true in K-12 education. This lady, Betsy DeVos, who's Secretary of Education, has pushed the agenda of school choice, giving black parents a choice. You can send your kid. You don't have to stay in a rotten, failing school. You can take some money and go to take a voucher and go to the private school. You can take the money that's already being paid and go to a charter school. So old Trump has been a friend of black folks for a long time. I don't know how, where it came from. Trump is a racist. Trump hates us. That's hogwash. And that's the hogwash that's been dished into our community by some sick politicians who have an axe to grind. But Trump has been great for us in housing, great for us in employment, great for us in education.
Yes, he has been. He's also been very kind and very compassionate to those who have been incarcerated for overdue long prison terms, dubbed the First Step Act. Donald Trump has done a tremendous amount for the African-American community. It's unfortunate that it's overshadowed by the exacerbation of the media of his certain rhetoric. That has been a problem for Donald Trump. And the media, of course, takes advantage of that and misses the message of all of the positive things that he's done for African Americans. And then when he says something inappropriate, the first thing the media wants to do is dub him as a racist. I personally don't inherently believe that a person would support policies to advance African Americans, whether it be the opportunity zones, the billions of dollars he put into urban opportunity zones, that would put policies into advance African Americans. Conversely, a policy that Lyndon Johnson didn't want to support the Civil Rights Act and then have us enslaved and oppressed for so many years. You know, Malcolm X so eloquently said that you will be oppressed by your oppressor and won't even know it. And it is sad to see what is going on in this country. And I thank people for you for stepping up. Before we continue, for those that are tuning in, this is Conservative Talk Radio Show. We're always right, never left. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. Today we have in the studio former longtime House of Representative legislator Elbert Gilroy in the studio talking about the plight of African Americans in America, talking about what we can do, and also talking about the black conservative movement for the 2020 elections. What other advice can you give young people today who cannot make up their minds on where they should go politically? How do you encourage young people to get involved in the political process? And what advice do you give them for them to be effective civilians in our society?
I ask young people to do two things. First, look around the world, the whole world. And I've traveled. I have been blessed to travel this entire world as a country boy from Lautel, Louisiana, from the cornfields of Lautel. If you travel this world, you will, or even study it. I have never seen a place where I would rather live than here. There's no place in Europe, no place in South America, no place in Africa that you could convince me to move to. So there's no place with the opportunity, no place with the freedoms, no place with the liberty, no place with the equality. Yes, America's had some problems. America's going to have, every place is going to have some problems. I'm going to stay here and then do what I've done for 60 years, because I started this being a warrior for justice when I was 15 years old. So I'm going to stay here and try to make this even better than it is. But right now, it's better than any other place. So if you look around and you see that this is the best place, then you need to look around your neighborhood and see how to make it better. Now, look at your politicians. We're talking about my advice to young people. If you look at the politicians, they don't live in your neighborhood anymore. They live in the gated community down the road. They drive in the Cadillac. They're doing well. But our folks are not doing well. We are unemployed. With all that Trump has done, we still, too many young black people are unemployed. Too many middle-aged black, able-bodied black men and women are not in the workforce. We've got to make those kinds of changes. You can't be on the government roll and make enough money to buy you a house or to send your kids to college. So look around, young people. If you're satisfied with what's happening in your neighborhood, just stay home. Don't need to do anything. But if you're not satisfied, if you want a better life for yourselves and a better life for your children and your grandchildren, you got to get on board. You got to look. And don't listen to Fox. Don't listen to CNN. Study it for yourselves. And you can make this nation better. You can make your neighborhoods better.
Thank you for that insight for our young children. What do you think some of the biggest issues? Well, we only have about 5 minutes left, so let me focus on, if you will, since it's a hot topic today, police brutality or police murdering our children in the black community. As this elder statesman, how do you feel, think, and what do you recommend that we do to change this paradigm? It's almost like this is normal behavior, that a black kid is going to be shot in the back or going to be killed at the hands of the police. And, you know, I just want to add one thing. I have a 19-year-old daughter that's in college going to school to become a medical doctor. And she's a good kid in school. And she says, "Daddy, I am scared of the police." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Because I'm black." That's sad that young people, it reminds me of a kid in the 60s. And my father told me where I should go, where I shouldn't go, and how to react and how to respond if the police pulled me over. It seems like the 60s are coming back here in the 2020s. What do you think about that, sir?
Three things. First, we must ensure that justice is done. And I'm happy to say that right when this thing happened, and I saw it several days ago, I recommended that the killer for our brother George Floyd, that his charges be upgraded to second-degree murder, and they have been. I also recommended that those other three buzzards that were standing around letting it happen, that they be charged with accessory, that they be arrested and charged with accessory to murder, and they have been. Justice. We need justice. When someone misbehaves toward us, we need swift justice, period. That's number one. Number two, the police have to police themselves. Police officers know who these bad eggs are. They ride with them. They eat with them. They talk with them. They need police We need to have the police department override the police union and get rid of the bad eggs. And number three, 90% of the young men, including Michael Brown in Ferguson, the guy who was selling the cigarettes, the Lucy's in New York, who all those men are dead now. The reason that they're dead is that they set into motion a series of actions when they defy the police. Defying the police on the street is not the solution. You're supposed to stay alive. Your goal is to stay alive. You can't fight against the police on the streets, and you can't fight against the police from the graveyard. I've been arrested more than 200 times in my life, arrested and stopped by the police. Many of those in the 1950s and the 1960s, when it was real bad. The reason that I'm alive to say this to you today is because my mama and daddy taught me how to behave in a respectful manner when I was confronted by the police.
Yes.
So those are my three things. Justice, police, justice system needs to work. The police need to police themselves. And we need to deal with police in a way that we don't bring down violence onto our heads, onto our children. I got a 13-year-old grandson. We had this conversation last night.
Sir, I want to thank you so much for, unfortunately we're out of time, I thank you so much for your insight, your knowledge, your experience, and your service, not only to Louisiana, but to our country. And I hope that and pray that you will come back on my show again so we could talk about many other issues to continue to raise the level of consciousness of not only our people, but the people in America. Thank you so much, sir. God bless you, and God bless your family for your work and service to our country. And thank you so much for being on my show today. God bless you.
It's been an honor, brother. Chauncey, keep doing what you're doing. Godspeed, brother. You're doing God's work.
Yes, sir. God bless you. Thank you, sir. For those that are tuning in, this is Conservative Talk Radio. We're always right, never left. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We were honored and blessed to have in the studio longtime civil rights activist, mentor, legislator, criminal defense attorney, a man who has had his hands on the pulse of our community for over 70 years. We had in the studio, we're blessed to have him, and hopefully he will come back on again when his schedule permits to talk about the increasing and dynamic issues facing the black community in our nation today. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Conservative Talk Radio. Please join us every Wednesday at 6 o'clock here, where we're always right, never left. Next week, we will have in the studio Bonnie Pendagina, who is running for school board in Florida. She's changing the face of the school board in her district. She will be in our studio next week. You can follow us at Right Talk Radio on Twitter. You also can follow us at Conservative Talk Radio on Facebook. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. You can follow me on Twitter at Right Talk Radio Host. You also can follow me on Facebook at Right Talk Radio Host. Once again, thank you all for tuning in and listening. I send out many prayers to all of those who have lost loved ones and who are struggling with the loss of lives in our country with this deadly pandemic. And I thank again all of the frontline workers for jeopardizing their lives and their families' lives every day, for giving us their service to give us and provide us with a normal life. Thank you again. Godspeed to you all. God bless you all, and God bless America.